Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I want to begin this morning by sharing a story with you. It's actually a news article that was written by Paul Harvey, published in April of 1989. It's a little lengthy, but I want you to listen to what Paul Harvey has to say in this story that he retells. Tom O'Connell got up from the breakfast table that morning, kissed his wife, Melinda, and their two tiny daughters, Samantha and Jessica, and he headed off to work. The girls followed their father as far as the front door. It had rained for most of 10 days. The sun was out now, but Andover, Ohio was soggy. The nearby drainage ditch was filled with rushing runoff. Minutes later, daughters Samantha and Jessica were bouncing a beach ball when their mother looked out the window and Jessica, aged 2, was nowhere in sight. At the same time, and 2 houses away, neighbor Ray Blankenship was sipping breakfast juice, gazing out the window, when suddenly he saw a baby girl being swept along in the flooded drainage ditch. Ray Blankenship was aware that the ditch, just a few yards downstream, washed into the North Main culvert. It was 30 feet long and flooded to the top. Ray Blankenship dashed out the door, raced parallel to the ditch, trying to get ahead of the floundering child. Then he hurled himself into the churning water. Inside the house, his wife telephoned for police assistance, her heart pounding, anxious for the child and now for her husband in the flooded ditch. Ray Blankenship surfaced, was able to reach out and grab baby Jessica's arm. He pulled her close to himself, but the raging floodwater carried both of them toward that culvert, less than 20 feet away. There the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath the road. Blankenship, with his free hand, clutched for anything solid. The two of them were end over end and within 10 feet of the yawning culvert when Ray's free hand found a rock protruding from the bank. He maneuvered himself close. The tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and Jessica away from the rock, but if he could just hang on until rescue came, it did. Fire department rescuers pulled both baby Jessica and Ray Blankenship to safety. At the hospital, both were treated for near drowning and shock, but both recovered. And on April 12th, in Andover, Ohio, the commander of the 9th Coast Guard District, Rear Admiral Richard Applebaum, will present the Coast Guard's life-saving medal to Ray Blankenship. Yes, it is a military award for a civilian, but his heroism is no less becoming. This selfless American was at even greater risk to himself than I have so far mentioned, for Ray Blankenship can't swim. What an amazing story of courage. And I looked up Ray Blankenship just last night and I saw that he had passed away several years ago. But his legacy of saving this baby lives on as he demonstrated such incredible courage when he had to make a split-second decision to save little Jessica's life. The Church of Jesus Christ today needs to exhibit such courage. I'm in this series talking about extraordinary. And last week I meant every word when I said you are an extraordinary congregation. Now I want us to really think about living with this biblical mandate of extraordinary courage. What does it mean to live a courageous life as the Bible teaches us to live? As a whole, the church in North America, and I'm not singling out any particular church or denomination, but as a whole, I feel the church today resembles the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz. Anyone seen The Wizard of Oz? You know what I'm talking about? The cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz. "You're nothing but a great big coward," Dorothy said sternly to the cowardly lion when she first met him in the woods with the Scarecrow and the Tin Man. And you know what he said back? He said, "You're right. I am a coward. I haven't any courage at all," responded the lion with tears running down his cheeks and his voice trembling. To me, it's sad that the church as a whole resembles more the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz than we do the Lion of Judah, as the Bible talks about, right? I think we have given up so much and forgotten the mandate that God has called us to live with courage and authority. And yet we have substituted that for comfort and ease. Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. These are some of Moses' last words. Now Moses, you remember, was a man of courage. God raised him up, even though he was a coward at first, you remember? God worked with Moses and taught Moses and shaped Moses. And God took Moses, this cowardly man who actually fled for a cowardly act that he had done. And he was in hiding for many, many years. God raised him up to eventually be the courageous leader to lead the people of God out of slavery, out of the land of oppression, and to cross the Red Sea, which in and of itself was a courageous act, and then lead his people onward. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, these are some of Moses' last words before he dies. Remember, he was a cowardly man. And yet God used him in such a mighty way that some of his last words to the people were this. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan." And there's a whole set of reasons why Moses was not able to lead his people across the Jordan. But in verse 3, "The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you." Get this, verse 6. Some of Moses' last words to the people. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Remember, the people were fearful to hear all these things. God's going to lead them across the Jordan, and they're going to face all these hostile nations and people. And wouldn't it be safer, God, if we just kind of stayed where we're at, you know? Wouldn't it be safer if we just lived in our own little bubble and we just kind of lived a comfortable life? God, you mean you're going to take us through all these journeys and we're going to face hostile people and our lives are actually going to be at risk? Really, God, are you really going to do this to us? And Moses says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Listen, because of everything that's happened the last couple of months, we all have been forced, and still to some degree, asked to withdraw from our normal routine, right? I mean, this word quarantine, who would have thought? Who would have thought a year ago, 6 months ago, that the whole world would basically be on lockdown and in quarantine? And one of the things that it's forced us to do, for health and safety reasons, I get that, but it has forced us to withdraw and seek safety and comfort in our homes. And we need that. We absolutely need that. And we advocate safety. We need to be safe. I get that. But we should not forget that just because we're being asked to withdraw for safety reasons does not mean we're being asked to withdraw for spiritual reasons. God is still calling us to move forward with courage and authority because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. He has given you the power and the authority to move the forces of heaven, to spend time on your knees in prayer, to intercede in ways that you never have before in prayer, and to advance the kingdom of God as never before. So let's not confuse withdrawing for safety reasons for withdrawing from spiritual obligations. Put quarantine aside. Sociologists tell us that we're dealing with a really major epidemic that is hurting a lot of young people, but also older people as well. And that is really the advent of video games and social media. Like anything else, video games and social media are not bad. They're fun. But like anything else, when taken to an extreme, they can be harmful. And sociologists today are very concerned that today we're dealing with an epidemic of withdrawal as never seen before, in large part due to video games and social media. We have an epidemic of kids today who are so withdrawn from the reality of the world and so enamored with video games that oftentimes they can't differentiate between what's on the screen and reality. Let me give you a harsh example. Some of the aggressors of these school shootings, when interviewed, if they survived, have said to those psychologists interviewing them, it was just like the shooting in the video games. And there's this blurred, distorted reality of what they've done in their basement playing video games and then, you know, the reality of real life. I know adult grown men in their 50s who so withdraw from the responsibilities of work life and home life and they just immerse themselves in video games. It's an epidemic. They withdraw from the realities of day-to-day life. Maybe they don't want to deal with the responsibility or whatever. Social media is another example. Social media can be good. It can be a great way to stay in touch and be informed and those kinds of things. But it can also be a way to be so withdrawn from reality that we become enmeshed in a make-believe world, right? And so we cannot fall into this fallacy of thinking that I can have control with video games and social media just like I do in the real world. No, that's not true. We are called to live in the here and now and advance our lives, advance the kingdom of God, and advance the good news of Jesus Christ. The opposite of courage is not so much fear, although there is fear involved. The opposite of courage is withdraw. We just finished a study before we started meeting for church through the book of Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He withdrew from what God told him to do. Maybe it was motivated by fear. Maybe it was motivated by racism. We don't know. But he withdrew, and we know what happened to Jonah. And it wasn't until Jonah came to terms with the reality of what God was asking him to do, did the great fish spit him up, and then Jonah did what God asked him to do. And so the Bible has always called the people of God and people of faith to be strong and courageous. Don't let fear consume you. Don't withdraw into your own little bubble. But God is calling us to move forward with courage and to not be motivated and certainly paralyzed by fear. Now, let me tell you what courage is not. Courage is not acting foolishly or being stupid. We all, when we were younger, did things that were stupid, right? And maybe we thought we were being courageous when really we were just being stupid. They tell us centuries ago in the olden days, that fishermen off the coast of Ireland never taught themselves how to swim, believing that if the God of the sea wanted to take them, that there was nothing they could do about it. They were so enamored with this idea that individual families would knit sweaters and clothing that were distinguishable for each family so that when their bodies washed ashore, they could identify which family they came from. That's really not living courageously, okay? And so when we're called to live a courageous life, learn to swim. You know, learn what you need to learn and be smart about it. Moses, one of his final words to his people, we just read it, told the people, I'm passing the baton on to Joshua. God has used me. I've lived a full long life, 120 years. And now you will have a new leader. And under this new leader, Joshua, God is going to continue to move you forward and you will advance. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It's just one book over. And now Joshua is speaking, for Moses had died. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And listen to the language that Joshua uses here. It's very reminiscent of his mentor, Moses. And here's why this is so important. If we want the next generation to be courageous, we had better teach and model courage here and now. Amen? Moses modeled and taught courage. And now Joshua was picking up the baton and teaching the people, teaching a whole new generation to continue to be courageous and to move forward. If we're dealing with a lack of courage in our day and age today, we can't blame this current generation. We have to blame the generation that came before, because courage wasn't passed on. But this model is so beautiful. Moses said and taught courage, and now Joshua is picking right up where Moses left off. Look at Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all of the Hittite country to the great sea to the west. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Here it is again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And actually, if you skip all the way down to the very end of this chapter, we hear these words again. The last words of this chapter, be strong and courageous. Where Moses' generation led and modeled and taught courage, that was being passed on now to Joshua and his generation. And they indeed did move forward. They did not let the fear of the unknown paralyze them. And they moved forward into the promise that God had for them. Church, we need to rise up with holy, biblical courage. We have been comfortable for too long. And God is asking us to be courageous, to take that step of faith and do whatever it is He asks of us to do. But I'm afraid that Christianity in America has become so comfortable. C.S. Lewis said it this way, in such a fearful world, we need a fearless church. Amen? In such a fearful world, we need a fearless church. Yes, be cautious, be safe, keep your family safe. But don't revert back to a place where we are just comfortable in our spirituality and we don't grow in the Lord and we don't advance the kingdom of God and we don't pray and we don't do the things that God asks us to do. The early church, those disciples in the upper room, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with power. And that gave them the courage in the face of an imperial Roman Empire that loved to throw Christians to the lions. They were courageous and they moved the church forward. They did not let fear paralyze them. And the church advanced in the face of hostility as never before in the first century. Why? Because they had the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we too can move in ways that astonish even us. Let's stop being the cowardly lion and let's be the Lion of Judah, as we read about in the Bible. But we need to be careful that our convictions are biblical. That we are courageous with our biblical convictions. Not political convictions. Not even personal convictions. We need to be courageous with biblical convictions. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And this is a great verse to close out this service, and on Father's Day, actually, for those of us who are men. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. These are the Apostle Paul's closing words in this first letter to the Corinthian church that needed a little kick in the behind, if you will. Because they had been so bogged down with political stuff that kept their church from moving forward. And Paul was dealing with so many problems that the Corinthian church dealt with that they had lost sight of their mission. And that happens. And this is what Paul says to them to set them straight. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. And be strong. Be men and women of courage and be strong in the Lord. If people will go out and protest peacefully or unpeacefully for whatever cause, how much more should the Church of Jesus Christ be courageous in our cause to advance the kingdom of God? Amen? How much more should the biblical convictions as laid out in God's Word guide us to be courageous men and women of God so that we don't shy away from our faith, but we live out an extraordinary courage that Tim sang about earlier and that the Bible teaches us to live? How much more, if people of the world will show courage for whatever movement or agenda they want to identify with, that's fine. How much more should the people of God be courageous for the things of God and the things that we hold dear that have eternal value? Oh God, give us extraordinary courage to live out our faith.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.